put a name on it.
Council meeting for Tuesday, September 24th, 2019, at 9:10 a.m. is hereby called to order. Again, thank you all for attending council meeting today. There was an agenda circulated prior to the meeting. I have no changes to recommend to that agenda. Are there any other additions or changes to that agenda? Councilor McLeod?
Is it possible to add under discussion somewhere in the agenda regarding the sound system in our council chambers? Every meeting we have difficulties with it, and I don't believe we've had any discussion with staff on improvements to other than making sort of tweaking the system. Is it possible to discuss that on the agenda?
We can add that to the agenda today, Councilor McLeod. I will tell you that our IT technician has purchased another microphone for the desk. He's purchased cables. We're having some difficulty getting the electrician in to run the wire, but that is the only hold up to the improvement to the sound system.
Is it possible to look at another replacement system rather than just adding one?
Not at this point. It would be unwise to spend taxpayers' money when perhaps that extra microphone would do the need that we have.
Can we add that to the discussion?
We can under reports if you would like. 14 and 3. Sound system report. Any other changes, Councilor Farrell?
Yes, on 14.2, library update. Could I move that to the following council meeting, please?
You certainly can.
Thank you.
Any other changes recommended today? A motion to approve the agenda as amended would be in order. Moved by Councilor Farrell. Seconded by Councilor Mews. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We will now move on to 3.0 presentations. And under 3.1, we have a branding update. Tyler McLeod from M5. Tyler, if you'd like to come forward to the presentation desk.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me in bright and early. So we're going to do a little update this morning on the branding project. In terms of an agenda, we're going to move fairly quickly through this. There's a lot to go through. So a bit of a recap on what the project entails. We'll do an assessment on sort of the current state of the brand. We did some public engagement sessions and some research, so I'll share some highlights from that. And then what our recommendations are moving forward. But just in terms of like big picture where we're at for today, you know, if you were engaging a contractor to build you a new home, you'd probably have conversations with that person, tell them how you live your life, what your lifestyle looks like, what you like, show some pictures of things you like. But you wouldn't go from there to saying, the contractor saying, okay, great, I'll go build that house for you now. You'd probably have a surprise that may or may not be exactly what you're looking for in the end. So there's an interim step, and that's where we're at today. It's really around the blueprints. So having heard everything, processed everything we've heard, we're going to put a blueprint in front of you for where we think we need to go. And it's a point to get input and have that conversation around, does this more or less capture what you're looking for in the end? And now's the time to have that conversation before we get to an end product and people go, oh, wasn't quite what I had in mind. So quickly, in terms of a recap, what's this project all about? There's a number of objectives here, but they can all sort of be bottled into this one idea of articulating and developing a new brand identity for the region that's going to do a number of things for you. Attract new visitors, retain current ones, or have them repeat more often, need new residents to come in and retain current ones. We don't want to see people moving away. We want to help attract new business investment, increase civic pride and engagement, and also operationally create some efficiencies here. So it's a lot, it's a tall order for a brand, and a brand can't do all of these things by itself, obviously, but it can help. So in terms of how the project looks from a process standpoint, five steps here, and we're just entering into the middle. So there's the discovery session, or the discovery stage, and community engagement, where we talk to you, we learn about the municipality, we understand people's perspectives, and then we turn that into a strategy. So this is the blueprint stage, before we get into things like, what is the brand identity? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it say? Then we get into creative toolkits. How do we turn it into things you can use from a marketing standpoint, an operational standpoint, and then launch it? So we did some public engagement to make sure we understood both ourselves as M5, what the municipality is all about, but to give people a chance to sort of talk it through themselves and sort of hear from other people what things are important to the municipality and what things we think makes us stand apart from other places in the region. So we did some a session here with council as well as with staff. We did four community engagement sessions throughout the municipality in Caledonia, Liverpool, in Greenfield and Port Mattoon. We also had an online survey available through the website, which we got 225 responses, and there was a comment card drop box as well, which garnered 41 responses. So before we dive into talking about what a new brand might look like, we wanted to look at the current state. What does the brand look like, and what are we assessing it against? So when we talk about brand identity, we're talking about really three things. Brands are bigger than this, but specifically the brand identity, it comes down to your name, what you're called, your logo, and if you have a slogan or a tagline or a cut line, anything that sort of you always see in sort of lock up with the with a logo, those are the things we're talking about when we say brand identity. So there's a handful of considerations that we use when we talk about what makes a good brand identity. And none of these things are absolute black and white rules, but taken together in sort of balance, there are a number of things that you want to have each of these things doing a number of things well. So descriptiveness, does the name of whatever it is you're talking about, does it tell you anything about what it is or what it does? Is that name relevant to the target audience? So you might have a name, but if you're trying to speak to a certain group and that name means absolutely nothing to them, then it's not relevant. Brand hierarchy talks about if you've got a whole bunch of things in an organization, like different divisions and sub-brands and all these things fitting together, does the name help you understand how all these things fit together? Like which is sort of at the top of the heap and which are divisions or which are departments and that sort of thing. Budget and how it affects name choice. So you can call yourself something really abstract if you've got a lot of money. If you don't have a lot of money, you might want to avoid that. So if you're a bank, ING Direct, and you rebrand as Tangerine, Tangerine doesn't tell you an awful lot, well, it doesn't tell you anything about what they do. It does not tell you that they're a bank. So you want to have a big budget behind you if you're going to call it a bank Tangerine. If you don't have a big budget, you might want to call it something something bank. Pronunciation, is a name easy to say? It sounds kind of like an obvious thing, but if people can't say it, they'll be hesitant to talk about you. And there's an example of a company right now, it's an online rewards company that's launching a whole campaign right now, 30 seconds on TV, just devoted to explain to people how to say the name. What a ton of money to spend just telling people how to say the name when they could talk about why you should use them or how it's better than some other service. Differentiation, again, you want your name to not sound like anybody you might be competing with. And then shelf life. Is this going to be too trendy? Is it going to stand the test of time? So when we look at your name, and again, obviously, you might think this is a conversation where you don't have a lot of choice in the matter. It's a legal entity. It's an administrative unit. These things have been the way they are for some time. But you do have a little bit of a say in it in terms of how you approach it from a marketing and branding standpoint. So we look at descriptiveness. We'd say, yes, it's descriptive insofar as it communicates, like, that is the name of this municipal unit. So bang on. But really, from a target audience standpoint, it doesn't really tell them any, Queens County doesn't really tell them anything about where it is, what it offers, what's here, what the benefit of living here, working here, visiting here might be. The relevance to the target audience, if you just said Queens County to somebody, unless they have a connection to the place, that name alone doesn't necessarily have relevance to them. From a brand hierarchy standpoint, no issues there. This isn't a complicated thing where you've got multiple sub-brands and that sort of thing, so that's all straightforward. And in terms of budget, this is what we were talking about. If you have a literal brand name, you don't need to have that kind of money to explain to people what you're talking about, and that's not really an issue here. Pronunciation, no issues there. In terms of differentiation, I would say it's technically differentiated. If we're looking at, you know, your target audience being Nova Scotians, there, you know, there's no other Queens County. There might be a little bit of people who might get you mixed up with Queens County, which one's Kings, which one's Queens, and you know, if we're talking on a bit of a broader scale, in the Maritimes, there are Queens counties in New Brunswick and in PEI, so I would say technically differentiated, but it's not exactly a slam dunk. And shelf life, no concerns there. It's a name that's been around for hundreds of years, and you know, the name isn't going out of style anytime soon. So in conclusion on the brand name, I would say, and sorry for just reading this, but we would say your brand name is not incorrect, but it doesn't mean it's not putting you at a disadvantage. So there's lots of things that you want to say about your county, about your region, but the brand identity gives you three places to say it, and one of those is the name, and the name isn't doing anything for you right now. It's not telling anybody anything about this place. Doesn't tell you where it is, what makes it unique, or why they should care. So I'm going to say this, and I say it knowing full well that this is a big one. We recommend considering a new brand name. It doesn't mean change the name of the municipality legally, administratively. It's the Region of Queens Municipality for as long as we can imagine it. But when we talk about what goes on a sign or what goes on a piece of marketing collateral, is there another name that could help people start to understand without needing to explain? It's down the South Shore just below Lunenburg. Or, you know, it's the place where you get to Kedgy. Like, you always need to have a bit of a qualifier right now to talk about it and explain to people, is there something we could call it that's not Tangerine, but starts to allude to either where it is or what the benefits or what the great things are about this place. We're going to come back to this, don't worry. Oh, some comparables. So what I'm talking about here is when you have a place that has a technical name, an administrative name, but often becomes known in popular culture or to people by a much more common name. So you see those on the left, they're not so recognizable, but on the right, everyone knows Silicon Valley. Nova Scotia Trunk 30 Highway is technically Nova Scotia Trunk 30 Highway. That is what it is on paper, but everyone knows it as the Cabot Trail. And that's the kind of thing we're talking about, how something can go from having an administrative name to also being known something when people talk about it casually. So on to logo. Some of the things we look at when we're considering whether a logo is doing a good job or not. So there's the number of moving parts, like how many different components does it have, how many different colors, whether it's literal or figurative. So you can get these abstract logos, it's sort of a swishy something or other, and it conveys a feeling, but doesn't show you anything specific, and neither one is good or bad. But when you consider if your name is literal, maybe your name tells you something literal, in that case maybe the symbol that goes with it can be a little more abstract and be designed more to impart a feeling. So for example, if I was developing a logo for Tyler's Hamburgers, my name is Tyler's Hamburgers, I maybe don't need to have a hamburger as my symbol. Maybe it's a missed opportunity. The name says hamburgers, it tells people hamburgers. If I want to stand for the freshest ingredients, maybe my symbol, maybe my logo can have something in there that alludes to that fresh ingredients. Trendiness. You can make choices as a designer that's going to either stand the test of time or that's very in right now and may not be in a few years' time. Differentiation, again, choosing colors, shapes that aren't well-trodden by competitors. Simplicity, generally simplicity is a good thing. It's more memorable. It's easier to replicate from a marketing standpoint. You get into trouble when you have a complex logo that maybe doesn't reproduce very well at small sizes and that kind of thing. And then shelf life. This isn't something you want to be doing every couple years. It's expensive, you don't want to do this, you want to have something that's going to stand the test of time. So when we look at the current logo, again, where we stand today, number of moving parts, this logo has a lot. There's a lot going on there between the queue, the rivers, the forest, the schooner there, the lighthouse, a lot of moving parts. Literal versus figurative, very high on the literal side. Obviously the name is there, it's very clear, but the symbols are clear as well. We're literally showing people in this logo various components and makeup of the municipality. and then trendiness. In this case, I would say the logo is a little bit dated. There's some choices here in the design that haven't aged so well. First of all, the complexity of it. The trend now is more towards simple, simplified design elements, easier to reproduce. But even some things in terms of the treatments on the schooner and the lighthouse, the gradients and things, the photorealistic approach, more often than not, we've moved away from that to more simplified visual identities. Differentiation, no issue there. I don't think you'll find another logo like this with that particular combination of elements anywhere. So with, between the Q and the number of things that make it up, nobody else has that. Simplicity, definitely not simple. This would be a tough one to recreate from scratch. If you're asking someone to sort of draw it from memory, there'd be questions about what are all the elements and in what order. And then shelf life. I think we would suggest that it doesn't really stand the test of time right now. There's some elements in there that have not aged so well. So in conclusion, a number of compelling reasons to change your logo. It is unique, it is differentiated, those are good things, but it is complex. It's a bit less recognizable and memorable because of those things. It's harder to sort of recognize at a glance. And we believe there's an opportunity to craft a logo that says something more single-minded. So whereas this logo is sort of trying to do a lot of things, and we wonder to what extent it can do any one of those things really well, we think we should pick one thing and do that one thing really well. So we recommend a new logo. And then tagline consideration. So what makes it for a good tagline? Again, descriptiveness. Not everything needs to be descriptive to the point of if you have a literal name, your logo probably doesn't need to be so literal. And same thing with tagline. If there's a lot being communicated in your logo, in your name, then use your tagline for something else. You don't need to say the same thing a third different way. Use it to explain something about what makes your product, your service, your region, your home a great thing. Whether it's unique, does it sound like it's something that describes you? Or is it something that a number of other entities could use as well? Is it memorable, or is it something that you trip over and try to remember exactly how it comes out? Is there a connection to the brand? Does it feel like it's designed specifically for this place? And then again, shelf life. Is it something that taps into something very of the moment, but it's something you're going to have to change in 5 years' time because it's tapping into something very trendy? So we looked at the current tagline, Escape the Unusual. So from a descriptive standpoint, we would suggest it's not very descriptive. It tells you what Queens County is not, but it sort of leaves it up to the viewer to determine what it is. So we're saying it's not usual, therefore it's what? Uniqueness. We'd suggest it's not unique. Not even just within places, but it feels like it's a tagline that could very much be applied to a hotel or a chocolate brand or a coffee brand or something in that escape that feels like I maybe heard that before with Nescafe or something like that. Memorability, no issues there. It's short, simple, straightforward there. Connection to brand, it's unclear just in those elements how Escape the Unusual relates to Queens County. It needs some further explanation. And then shelf life, I would say no issues there. There's nothing trendy or time sensitive in the tagline. So again, here we would suggest that overall it's not hurting the brand. It's not saying anything that's incorrect, but it might be a missed opportunity to tell the audience something more, something specific, something that they can actually take away and sort of tangibly understand about what Queens County is all about or what it offers. So again, we would recommend a new tagline for the brand. So in conclusion, we recommend a few things. So a new brand name. So we'd like to explore this. We'd like to use the name to help people understand something about Queens County, and that could be where it is, or that could be its features. And I think it's going to be a bit of an exploration to figure out which, if any, of those two things work in combination with the other elements of logo and tagline. We definitely recommend a new logo, simplified. Use it as a nod to the region's most iconic visuals, but I could suggest that it wouldn't necessarily be a nod to all of the region's iconic visuals. And then a new tagline. So depending on what we do in the logo and in the name, if we do anything in the name, we'd use that tagline to speak to either or, you know, the reasons to live, work, and visit, but look for an opportunity to, in how we say it, to express the personality of the place as well. So it's not just what you say, it's how you say it, and that's a chance to bring some more personality to the brand. So if we're going to do those things, we need to ground them in something. And so we want to ground them in research and in public engagement. So we did some research around understanding and awareness of Queens County. And this is with Nova Scotians. So a majority of Nova Scotians, 59%, don't know anything about Queens County. So let me just explain, unpack that a little bit. So we have a research firm as part of our company, and we do quarterly telephone surveys of Nova Scotians. So in the summer, we did a telephone survey of 400 Nova Scotians. And the breakdown is, you know, is representative of where the population is distributed around the province. 166 in HRM, 180 in the rest of mainland, which would include some people here in Queens County, by the way. And then 54 in Cape Breton, almost 50-50 male-female breakdown. And then the age breakdown mirrors the demographic split. So it indexes slightly on the older end of the spectrum, given the way our population demographics are in the province right now. So we asked them the question, when thinking of Nova Scotia's Queens County, what comes to mind? And so this is what we got back. So on the left-hand side, we sort of grouped all these responses as really not having much in the way of understanding of Queens County. So the response, don't know, nothing, or I don't know where it is, all totaled to 59%. On the right-hand side, this is where we got some responses where people did have something to say. Beaches leads the way at only 8%, and then it's down from there. So Liverpool, rural, scenic, fishing and aquaculture, the pulp and paper industry, Annapolis, the valley, we might want to move those 3% over to the other side because they're a little mistaken in how the geography works. And then farming, agriculture, South Shore, Ketchum-Kujik, Lunenburg, all other mentions 17%. So I can tell you from memory that privateers, White Point, tourism, clean, all got 1% each, and then everything below that got less than a full percent. So there's a bunch packed up into that 17%, but they're all like one or two person said something there. And we wanted to look at this as well. So the awareness and understanding is lowest among younger Nova Scotians. So that overall 59% is being really buoyed by people age 55 plus. When you look at the younger Nova Scotians in particular, 18 to 34, 74%. Knew nothing about the county. That's I think we can safely say that's a bit concerning. So our takeaways is there's little equity in the current brand name. So if we talk about a name that we've had for, you know, over 100 years, we know that. It means something to us here in this room, but when we look out beyond, there's a large chunk of the population that it's not registering. And that we would say that the status quo is not an option. So we don't mean that the name must change, but we do mean that if we want more visitors, if we want more residents, if we want more business, the trend we're on is not a good one, especially with younger generations not having any understanding, over 70% of people not being able to articulate much in the way about Queens County. So, you know, whether we change the name or not, we believe that there's a strong argument that there needs to be something done to boost the brand. And you've already started that. Initiating this process, we're doing something different. To that point, from the public engagement side, we heard that Queens residents do understand what's at stake. So majority of survey respondents believe that it is extremely important to attract new residents, businesses, or visitors. So to the point that status quo is not an option, when we ask people how important is it to attract new businesses, to attract the business one's repeated, should be visitors there. It looks basically the same. The breakdown is largely in the extremely important. People understand that we need to do something. So as that relates to a branding activity, for us, our takeaway is that, you know, any activity like this, it's gonna have a lot of opinions. There's gonna be a lot of people who, you know, wanna ask why this, why not that. We believe that as long as we can show the rationale, the reasons why the choices were made, and how it all connects back to driving those objectives of attracting new residents, attracting visitors, attracting businesses, that there should be support underlying for those things if we can demonstrate how it all connects together. We also heard loud and clear that people understand there's a recognition of the need to appear welcoming. So when we ask the question, to attract more residents, businesses, and visitors, we need to be seen to be more what? You can see there in the word cloud, you know, the bigger words sort of demonstrate more frequency of mention. So things like welcoming, accepting, friendly, open or open-minded, these are some of the themes that we heard coming up again and again from people when we asked, you know, how do we want to be perceived? So our takeaway from that then is that the brand must convey a sense that this community is welcoming, and we won't get very far if we're not seen to be open. But as much as, you know, whatever we might put in a logo and a tagline, you know, we might, you know, the tagline might say, you know, we're very welcoming, but it's more about how the brand behaves, how the municipality behaves to demonstrate that, to prove it, than anything we can put on a tagline. Other things we heard, that there's general, but I would say not unanimous agreement on what our strongest assets are. Largely grouped into these three buckets. So we heard a lot about natural beauty, we heard a lot about friendly people, and we heard a lot about opportunity, especially as it relates to the business side of things. So when we look at the top reasons to live in Queens County, you see a lot of things sort of gussed up here around the natural beauty. So beaches, beauty, weather, natural beauty, scenery, but also the people and the sense of community you can see strongly there as well. The top reasons to do business, again, we see that opportunity gussing up here. So opportunities, new business, local support, community support. So there is a supportive community here that's encouraging people to take those risks. And then top reasons to visit. So again, back to the natural beauty. We see a lot of beaches, scenery, natural beauty, but also the history side of things coming in here a bit with history and museums. There's a little bit stronger still agreement when we ask Queens residents to choose a single strongest asset. So that first exercise was sort of like, tell us all the things that make Queens County an interesting place to visit or a rewarding place to live. If you had to choose one thing that the county does better than anywhere else in the province, what would that thing be? And by a good margin, the thing that came up was around our beaches. Now, obviously there's other things there as well, and we're not discounting those things, but when forced to make a choice, beaches came up ahead of some of the other elements. And then we asked about, you know, to choose what's the sort of most iconic thing, place or thing that Queens County has that people would recognize the most. And we had a bit of a four-way showdown here. So we've got beaches, Kedgy, White Point, and Privateers, as you can see there. So those are the things we heard. So we talked earlier about blueprint. What would a blueprint like? Having heard all that, we've heard this input, we've done some research. If we're to go forward with new logo, potentially new name, new tagline, what's it going to be based on? This would be that blueprint. So we put a blueprint together, and we evaluate whether we think this is going to be an effective strategy. There's a couple lenses we put on it. It needs to satisfy four criteria for us to recommend it as something that should be in the brand strategy. So the first thing is that it's available. Whatever positioning, whatever it is we want our brand to say, it needs to be available and not occupied by another competitor. Unless you want to outspend or try to outspend or outmaneuver somebody else, it's a difficult thing to try and take a positioning away from somebody else who already has it and has potentially been sitting on it for years and years. Deliverable. Whatever we choose can't be made up. It can't be something that we say because it sounds good and we hear that people today are really looking for thing X, so we're going to say thing X. If that's not who we are, if that's not true to what we offer, it's not going to go anywhere, and people will figure that out pretty quick. Salient. So the recommended positioning must be important to the target audience and their decision-making criteria. So we might be able to check those first two boxes and get to something that we suggest is, this is what we should be all about, but if that thing that we are all about is not something that the potential visitors, residents, and businesses truly care about, or if it's not something that when they're evaluating at the end of the day, where am I going to move, where am I going to set up a business, if this criteria is way down on their list, it's not a good place for us to be. And then lastly, needs to be interesting. So whatever we pick, if it satisfies those first three things, but it's boring, we're wasting our money. We need to do something, you know, you can't bore people into liking you, you can't bore people into rationally choosing you. Well, I guess, you know, you make a lot of good points, I guess I'll go there. Like, that's not how it works. People are human, they're emotional, they're irrational in some of their decision making, and being interesting is often more important than being rational and logical. So the brand strategy components, this is sort of the components of our blueprint are here, and we'll go through each one of them. So the brand architecture is really simple for this one. So it really defines the relationship between any master brand or sub-brands. So for Queens County, we see a sort of a branded house model where basically everything falls under this one branded house. There's one brand, all the touch points use that one brand. We're not getting into a bunch of different sub brands and like closely held brands and distant brands, and we don't need any of that. Brand pillars. So the handful of attributes that represent what Queens County offers and what make it unique. So these are really come back to the things that we've heard from people that they believe make us unique, that we believe passes the test of being interesting to people, of being salient to people, the things that people would value, and things that we can deliver on. And so beaches we heard loud and clear, rivers and lakes, our friendly, welcoming people, and our sense of community. Brand positioning. So this really is how we want people to talk about Queens County, how we want people to think about Queens County. If we're to occupy a position in their minds, it would be this. So we propose that it sounds something like, for people looking to forge their own path, Queens County offers a chance to live, work, and play in a natural paradise created by Nova Scotia's most stunning beaches, rivers, and lakes. So there's a lot to sort of unpack there, so let's just sort of take it one thing at a time. So for people looking to forge their own path, that's a deliberate choice of language there. We are acknowledging that perhaps we are not the obvious choice. You know, it's not necessarily, this is not Toronto. This is not, you know, an obvious choice for somebody looking to start a business. It's maybe not an obvious choice for somebody who's looking at where they might, if they're, you know, immigrating to Canada, this may not be the first place on their choice. So we want to acknowledge that and also tip the hat and credit people who maybe are willing to forge their own path, not follow the expected routes, and do something a little bit different. Queens County offers the chance to live, work, and play in a natural paradise. So we believe that above all else, and there are lots of compelling reasons, that above all else, it's this natural environment that would most motivate somebody to want to visit, to live here, or to work here. And on the work here side, we have to acknowledge that even though it's a business decision, that people are people too, and they have families, and they're going to need to live near the place where they work. So those things come into play as well. And what is that natural paradise comprised of? We believe it's the stunning beaches, rivers, and lakes. And again, we talked extensively about this because we have to realize that we're competing primarily in Nova Scotia. If you look outside that, within Atlantic Canada, if you look outside that, within Canada, and most of the places we compete with do have an element of natural beauty to them. So we have to be clear on which elements of our natural beauty are we trying to stake out. Brand personality. So this is probably the most subjective one, but when you get it right, it's the one that I think that makes people feel the most like, aha, we've nailed it. So when we talk about what our tagline might say, or when we look at what a marketing campaign to attract new residents might look like, what personality will those materials have? So we've picked four personality traits that we believe, based on what we've heard and what we've seen, reflect the personality that either we are today or with a little bit of momentum that we'd like to reflect in the very near future. So confidence. We want this brand to be assertive. We want to be self-assured, but we don't need to be loud or boastful about it. So there's a difference between being confident and being cocky, and we want to be confident and self-assured. Collegial. So the brand would be warm and friendly, but more importantly, the brand promotes a spirit of camaraderie and shared responsibility. You've heard this a lot, with the need to work together as a county to support all the different communities, but also to support those people who will come here, whether they want to come here and live, that we, you know, are quick to embrace them. If someone wants to set up a business here, that we're quick to support that business, and that we all recognize that it's important to our own, you know, for all of us, that we are supporting, encouraging, and fostering that sense of community. Progressive. There's, I think, a sense today that we're quite traditional, and we heard that on a scale of traditional to progressive, we're maybe on the traditional end right now, that we want to edge that up more towards the progressive end of the spectrum. And enterprising. So the brand champions initiative and resourcefulness. Again, off the top, we mentioned we're not Toronto. We maybe don't have some of the expected resources at our fingertips that some other larger centers might. But that doesn't mean we can't do great things with some resourcefulness, with some ingenuity, and there's some examples of that we've heard, and that's the kind of spirit that we want to get across. That is welcomed here and that's encouraged here. And then, finally, the brand promise. So if you were to say one thing about Queens County, what does it offer? And if we were to write a tagline, this would be the closest thing to, you know, this would be our jumping off point for that kind of thing. So we put forward the idea that in Queens County, nature rewards its seekers with spectacular waterside beauty. So again, just to unpack that, this idea of rewarding its seekers, like again, the thought that it's maybe not the most obvious choice, but for those who are willing to take a look at something that's maybe not the most obvious thing, and maybe go a little further, explore a little more, there is a tremendous reward to be had for that. And in each person's case, whether they come here to live, to work, or to visit, those rewards might look a little bit different, but we always sort of see that coming back to the sort of the environment that people get to live in here, get to experience while they're here, get to work in, and the biggest influence on that is the waterside connection. So we're sort of, with waterside, you know, we sort of incorporate both the beaches, the rivers, the lakes, into that sense that this is all contributing to the rewards that people have for spending their time here. So that's the summary, the plan on a page, the blueprint on a page, if you will. And we can come back to that for some conversation if we want to. But in terms of next steps and where we go from here, welcome some initial commentary here. There'll be further conversations. We'll work through staff to make sure that anything that we feel needs to be revisited in terms of this blueprint, that we get this absolutely nailed down perfect before we move on to, you know, building that house, before we get on to proposing new brand names or logos or taglines. We want to make sure that this stage well captures the things that we believe we need to do. So we need to agree to that brand page, which I'll go back to, and then we go away and we make it into something tangible. So we put those names, logos, and taglines forward. So I'll just go back here. This is sort of the most, shared a lot here today, but this is sort of the thing that we need to be assured that we're on the right page on before we move forward. So I'll leave that there.
Thank you, Tyler. Any questions or comments of councillors on this presentation? Councillor Phillips?
I'll go first. I really love what you brought back to us. I think you really captured a lot of things that, we were worried that it wasn't going to be captured because you're talking to so many different people. So you've done a great job with that. A couple of things that kind of stood out. You know, we always call ourselves a hidden gem, and I guess that's probably not good. I mean, it's great to discover it, but that's kind of hindered us in a way, because apparently, looking at your stats, people don't know about our hidden gem, so that's part of the challenge. And it also, interesting enough, I'm not a fan of Escape the Usual, but everything you're talking about kind of leads back to that a little bit. It's just not well-defined or well-purpose.
I think looking at that now with the benefit of having gone through this exercise, I can totally see where that was coming from.
Yeah.
The essence of that, the spirit of that was coming from something, and I think it just fell short of articulating the so what.
Yeah. But I think another lesson from that is that you have to always be using that brand, because that brand may have been a good one, and had it been executed properly, it could be, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about it now. So it just shows how important it is that whatever we decide on this, the next step after that is the most important part. So, and I really like the seekers, when you talk about seekers, because that really, when you talk about forge your own path, that all goes together, and that's a really good wage for people to start, it kind of tweaks something. People are looking for adventure, they're looking for everything they have to offer. So not so much a question, but really thank you for bringing that back to you.
Any other councillor?
I echo Councillor Frelick's comments, and also the execution. Once a brand is established and we have that in our package, the execution of it, and like marketing ourselves, there has to be a strategy in place. How are we going to do that? Does that fall within the realms once the brand is established? Then we go back to another discussion on how we're going to present ourselves to the folks that are going to want to come to Queens, operate business, do visitors, that sort of thing. And one real asset that we have in Queens are the establishments like White Point Beach Resort. There have been a lot of people coming to Queens County who have gone there first on a vacation and then explored and found that they want to settle here, or they want to move here, or they want to invest here. And I think we have to be partners with those types of businesses as well to help spread the best kept secret of Queens County.
Yep.
Nancy?
Yeah, 2 points. As you mentioned, about 60% of the people basically did not even know a whole lot about Queens. Well, we understand that a lot of things stop off at all being Bridgewater, because that's where people want to come out from, and that's where even tour buses and everything will seem to make the swing there and go back through. And so when you look at places like Mahone Bay and such, as they always look at the three churches or something that would kind of stick out to you. And that we don't have anything we're promoting to stick out. And I always said at the start, we also too, it's like Mahone Bay is looked at as Mahone Bay. You don't look at Lunenburg County.
Right.
You look at Mahone Bay. We're trying to promote a whole county in one nutshell. It just makes it a little tougher. Because you have our beaches, but we also have our Kenji Park and Calvin. So how are you going to put these things together? And then also too, we have a cottage country, which is a big thing. That's why when we put in there for the lakes, maybe that kind of brings that kind of in too, because you don't want, when you're trying to put a whole county in one little thing rather than just a town, it becomes that much more complicated in how you're going to spread your vote. I like that you attempt maybe. Other things could be on like taglines or little pictures of maybe Kitchen Park or something. I don't know, something just is in that little people goes around. I'd like to see. I wonder how you could ever bring that all in, but I can see that.
Mr. Johnson?
Tyler, I'm impressed with the way you're able to pull all that together from all those different groups that did. I feel very confident to capture exactly what we're trying to do. And you said earlier on in the presentation, and I think this is key, and I said it from the get-go, is that we're not schooled and educated in our everyday actions to be able to live this brand. And I'm hoping as part of that is going to be an education from staff, from council, from outside businesses. How do we live that brand in everything we do? Because we can market it. We can market it to fill the cows tomorrow. If we can't prove we live it, I don't think it's worth the paper it's written on.
Yeah.
But great job, and I only hope that we can follow through with your good work on our good behavior.
Any other counselor have a question or comment? Mayor Kelly?
Well, just to give my opinion, and I love everything that you said, and it echoes how I view Queens County, so that was exciting to hear that a lot of other people view that. You're absolutely right. Every time I tell anybody about Queens County, South Shore, whatever, come political, I say come for our beaches. And, you know, and I think I may even go out on a limb when I say, and I don't know if this is shown in your research or if you can corroborate this, but I always say that Queens County has the most beaches, usable beaches, on our shoreline than any other county in Nova Scotia. So, I might be making that up, but I think if not, we're pretty darn close. I mean, we have 9 or 12 beaches. There's our whole shoreline is littered with beaches. And I'm not really sure I've ever seen any other county in Nova Scotia that actually could say that or has that. But and everywhere you see, that's what people talk about, the lakes, the rivers, the beaches. So you've actually nailed that, and it came through in the research, and that's really great to see. And I'm really, really excited to see how you launch this for us. I'm quite excited about that. So thank you very much. I really enjoyed your presentation.
Councilor Fisk?
really enjoyed your presentation. I think you're on very much on the right track. I want to echo a little bit from what Councillor Fancy has said, that he's mentioned Lunenburg, also Mahone Bay. We can find a way to get people to shore stop there, but keep on coming down to our beautiful region of Queens, and accept all three of the American countries. You're on the right track.
Councillor Bill?
Well, just one other question, Tyler. When you were talking, you were doing a survey, do you think the answers would have been different if you would have asked about Liverpool versus the region of Queens?
The public survey, the telephone survey?
Yeah,
I have no doubt. Yeah.
Because that's kind of the rule that we've been, they're talking about all the time, is use Liverpool as the base, and then everybody benefits once they discover Liverpool. So is that part of anything that you would ever suggest, or you're just looking for something that captures the whole county?
That's a great question. I would suggest that our philosophy would be the same, in that we need to find the thing that's going to attract the most attention, and we want people throughout the county to be able to see themselves in some part of that, but ultimately the decision needs to be made of what's going to be most effective here, and knowing that, whether people take an interest in coming to, if it's White Point Resort, if we chose that, just throwing that out there, if we said it's all about White Point, and that's going to drive people to want to live, work, and play here, then that's what we go with. And, rising tide, all ships, all that good stuff. Not proposing that at all. But the philosophy of it's about what's going to resonate with people and what's going to connect with people.
Powder, you probably have seen in the past the advertisements on television regarding these lands and how they promote this land, and how they're eye-catching and very down to earth, and people sharing their experiences living, working, and playing in the land. So if we could develop something like that from the execution part of it, we'd be certainly well on the way to success in this land.
It's you brought up one of the most revered campaigns, I think, in marketing, at least in this region, and it's recognized across Canada and around the world. So, it's tapping into something that people, that makes their sort of hair stand up on their arms when they see it. That's always that's always what we aspire to.
We can do it.
Yeah.
Any other councillor? Questions? Tyler, what's the next step?
So I'll regroup with Jenny and Richard to make sure there's nothing else on this, and then we put pen to paper on the creative side. So the next time we come back, it's with suggested name, logo, taglines, options, rationales, discussion.
Thank you very much for your presentation today. As you are aware, on the agenda, 3.3 municipal pension plan review by Eckler will be up on 30 this afternoon here in council chambers. Moving up on 4.0, taking up petitions. We have no petitions to table today. I have no petitions to table today. Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions today. 5.0, public question comment session. This is a portion of our council meeting where members of the gallery have the ability to speak for up to 5 minutes. Please state your name and address and be recognized by the chair. I see Leon's already off the list. I was a discussion at the opening by Brian Hatt, who was representing Rails to Trails, that they may, if the funding allows and permits and such are available, they would like to do the eastern abutment this fall, and it may create a temporary closure of the Trestle Trail Bridge for a short period of time. And then they would look at the next phase next spring to do the other columns. So there is some work to be done, but it is at the present status open to the public for up to 5 years, with the next phase required 5 years. It needs some additional work for ATVs, and if someone were to bicycle across the Trestle Trail Bridge, they're asked to walk because the space is being planned. It will be a 7 p.m. evening meeting in Mill Village Park. Issues that have impacted the audio system, and many of those have been resolved in the last 3 years. We still have some that we're working on. We're looking to improve, or if necessary, to replace, but we're very considerate of that. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak to the panel? Okay, well, thank you very much. We'll move on now to 6.0, approval of minutes. 6.1, regular council minutes of September 10th, 2019. Are there any errors or omissions in those minutes of circulation? Hearing none, a motion to approve those minutes of being ordered, moved by Councilor Davis, seconded by Councilor Kelly. Any discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? Okay. 7.0, dangerous on site premises. We have nothing to bring forward today. 8.0, economic development. We have 8.1, town hall arts and culture center. That's the proposal, recommendation. We will certainly look for Jenny to be able to speak on this. First off, I think we will have someone move the recommendation and let you take the lead on this.
8.1, I recommend that the Council of the Youth and the Queens Municipality enter into a lease agreement with the Astor Theater Society to operate the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center for a 1 year term.
Seconded for that? Seconded, Kelly? I would ask our Director of Economic Development, Sam Rocket, to please come forward to the presentation desk.
I apologize if I don't have more time for
it. We're faster.
Yeah.
And we have a motion on the floor as per the recommendation.
I'm actually going to stand because I think it's better, even though I'm less comfortable. First of all, I want to acknowledge that the applicants are in the room, so thank you so much for your time and effort that you put into applications. I really appreciate it, and there were some really strong proposals, so it was a difficult decision. So just as some background, did you do the motion already?
We have.
Okay. So for the past year, since the last person was managing that space, the staff of economic development have been responsible for taking bookings and coordinating the space on the calendar. And we really don't have the staff to be on site to do that. setting up the rooms, taking the bookings, answering questions. Often they're after hours and they're not available. And there were a couple of instances where I went in on the weekend to set up rooms and chairs, and Richard and I have been down setting up chairs. And it's probably not the best use of our salary dollars. And I think also in conversations with staff of the Astor, they're often answering those questions anyway, finding things for them, helping them with tech setup. So they're doing a job that really they're not getting, in some cases, not getting paid for. But because we're not there, there's some confusion about who's actually in that space. So, and we also haven't been actively promoting the space. And I think to be able to grow that building into a vibrant arts and cultural hub, like, you really need the people who are connected to the arts, who have a passion for that. And I will say that I do have that, but it's been a side of my desk thing, and I really think that it deserves more attention. So we really believe that the town hall is a huge asset for Queens County, and it does have so much potential. Rural arts and programming are so important to the community, so many benefits, and it really is an important strategic economic sector. We issued an RFP in August with the hope of soliciting proposals to operate and manage the town hall, and with the goal of creating a vibrant arts and cultural hub. At closing on August 30th, we received 3 proposals: Marilyn Kello, Taryn Jollymore, and the Astor Theatre Society. And since you're all here, I think it would be a great opportunity to connect after this too. So, all 3 proposals had their strengths. However, being reviewed by staff and scored based on the evaluation criteria outlined in the RFP, the Astor Theatre came out on top. The proposal presented by the Astor demonstrated a good understanding of what our expectations are for the town hall. They already are a prominent tenant in the building and attract many visitors with their events and programming. And I think last year, 17,000 people came through the theater, which is pretty amazing for, for rural theater. So the Astor is well positioned to operate and manage the building. They have an active board, strong continued volunteers, and they also have staff who are committed to delivering quality programming and exceptional visitor experiences. Excuse me. They also have a comprehensive 5-year strategic plan in place, and the vision and goals of that plan align well with what our hopes are for the building. So by entering into an agreement with the Astor to manage and operate the town hall, it would also give them an opportunity to further the goals that they've set out in the plan and assist in making them more financially viable. So they propose to use the additional space for room rentals, cost-sharing collaborations with organizers of artistic events. Thank you. A boutique space for Astor memorabilia, receptions before concerts, meet the artist gatherings and art openings, and also those rooms could be used for additional performance space that's not viable in the larger rooms. So that would include space for new and emerging artists and performers, readings, lectures, and workshops. We feel confident that they can successfully manage and operate the space with a view to grow it into a vibrant hub. And I also encourage them to reach out to the other applicants, as I really believe there's opportunity for synergy and some opportunities for collaboration. There will be some budget implications as outlined in the package. We've lost revenue due to the termination of the agreement with the gallery. And we'll also be losing some revenue associated with the rental of the upstairs rooms, but right now, to date, we've brought in just over $700. But staff time and efforts will be saved, so I think it will balance out. So we're proposing that the region enter into an agreement with the Astor for 1 year with no rental fees. We feel this would provide them with an opportunity to introduce new programming and events and grow the space into the vibrant arts and cultural center we all hope for. The lease would be renewed in a year and rental rates negotiated at that time.
I love what I'm hearing. I like this. It sounds clean. It makes sense. They're there anyway. And the Astros, like I say, they have the board there. They can control the whole building. They can make it work with what they're doing and what other people want to do. And at the end of the day, any other applicants are there to, you know, they rent that room, and they can RFP that space themselves if they're controlling it, and it does, you know, they're there all the time, and their focus, what's coming in there, and I think that that's probably one of the best things I've heard so far from the Town Hall is focusing to bring that vibrancy and being highlighted as arts and culture center in our downtown. That's a vision from many, many, many years ago when it changed from the Sherman Times Museum to the Town Hall Arts and Culture Center. So I'm glad to see that being captured now. For the WAB, thank you very much.
Councilor? Councilor?
Thank you, Jenny. It is an exciting time for all of us. The Astor Theater Society has been a user of that facility for many years, and from the public perception, they think they run it anyway. So, but we have an agreement with the Astor Theater Society for the venue. So is that agreement separate from this agreement, or how does that work?
We haven't negotiated that yet, but I would imagine that we'll just keep that separate for now, and then this would be a new agreement. And I can't remember when our agreement is up. I don't know if Richard can answer that question if he asked me. But at some point, maybe we'll merge those agreements after a year period and kind of see what things are.
The reason for me asking is I know that they have a liquor license, or we have a liquor license for that facility, and there was always interest in expanding that to other areas of the building. So
yes,
maybe that, and I know everyone's here for that, but listening, but I'm sure that would be part of negotiations as well.
Yes, definitely. And that did come up in the application, yes, that they'd be interested in having that.
Mr.
I really like the direction you're going, but I also am hesitant about it. I think to make that building active, we need as many partners as possible. So I would really love, if the Astor Theater moves forward, I would love to see the next step being a conversation with Merrimack and Perrin, because they both bring so much to the community. And I think that that's a hard building to program, to keep active all the time. And I also know that there is challenges with the Astor Theater as far as programming, because, I mean, it's huge. There's stuff happening all the time. So I know that it's a challenge for the staff and the board to keep up with that. So I'm fearful that that may compromise what we're looking for in the end in the other room. So, you know, we have the Cedardale Gallery in the two upper rooms. So I think there's lots of room for partnerships. And I really wish I would have had time to talk to all three prior to this, but it just didn't work out. But I'd be very interested to know, you know, if there's any possibility of that moving forward. Because I think everyone knows, and I'm a huge fan of partnerships, that partnerships can really take you to a level that you can't even imagine, you know. And that's really where we need to be with this town hall. We've looked at this building and experienced this building for so many years now. And it's been disappointing in so many ways, because it just never got to the momentum that we expected. But I think that we're heading definitely in the right direction now. But I think the partnerships will be key to moving forward. So if anything transpires, love and support.
Yeah, sure. And I agree. I mean, I think that we all felt some hesitancy with this process because of past experiences. And I think you're right. I think partnerships will be important in collaboration. And certainly, I all encourage that. I think for us, we just didn't have the capacity to be driving that. So having somebody else do that is really, it's great for it's great for me and Richard and Tina. And also, but I think it'll be really good for the community to have, an organization that's already really invested in that building and invested in the building that's participating in partnerships. Yeah. So.
Well, I think that this decision is not only timely,
more interest this time than last time as well, which is also, I think, good times.
Thank you.
Councilor Francis?
Yes, Jay, I'm in agreement with what I look at his currently, as you know, he's actually used our personnel for a lot of different things and different things he never even thought about this team up. So are we losing money by losing the 6,000, or are we using our people that we have, you know, for the extent that we maybe get other things done, or any done, because we're pretty much barred everywhere else. So I think that I don't think that's a bad thing to do. As far as the three people making the application and saying you have to choose one, I don't feel like we're choosing one. But the only way I'm voting on this is thinking that we're not choosing one, we're making a collaborative plan. And if could others do that, but then maybe I would have gone, I'd be voting in a different way. I'm looking at this and saying that I know all three are interested in wanting to work together. So that's my vote going forward, saying that, hey, we're letting one person be the head chief of this, but it's a collaborative plan we're looking at to be able to make it more inspired.
And then I would say also that will be, should you decide to enter into an agreement with the Astor, that'll be their decision. But I think that there's an openness to work with the other applicants and at least have a conversation as well.
Does the councillor have a question or comment? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you.